And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Each show has a theme, and today's theme is projecting an image. Each of my guests will discuss projecting an image into the world. My first guest is a branding and marketing expert. He turned his attention to presidential branding and explained how President Barack Obama sold himself to the American people from his book titled Brand It Like Barack. My second guest has a most interesting profession. He writes music, including jingles and commercials for business. We went behind the scenes in the jingle writing world to learn more about hit making in the commercial world. My next guest is a former California superintendent of public instruction. He's coming to Ventura County to speak at California Lutheran University tomorrow. And we have him first here in an exclusive interview to talk about the state of education in California. If you're interested and you want to call in, you can always call us at 639-0008. Jack O'Connell was elected to a second four-year term as the state superintendent of public instruction back on June 6th of 2006. He was first elected to serve as California's 26th state superintendent back in November the 5th of 2005. As the chief of California's public school system and a leader of the California Department of Education, Jack had focused on closing the achievement gap between preparing students for the rapidly changing global economy by holding higher standards for all students, which we can all get behind that. Superintendent O'Connell is a longtime advocate for smaller class sizes, improved teacher recruitment and retention, comprehensive testing, and up-to-date school facilities. Jack was born, I won't tell you when, back in New York State, but then he quickly moved out here with his family to Southern California, where he attended local public schools. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in history from Cal State University in Fullerton, and he earned a secondary teaching credential from CSU Long Beach back in 1975. He returned to his high school alma mater to teach for several years, and then later served as Santa Barbara County School Board as well. He was elected to the 35th State Assembly District in 1982 and was reelected by wide margins thereafter, once garnering both the Republican and the Democratic nominations. In 1994, Jack was elected to the 18th Senate District here in California's Central Coast, and he won reelection back in 1998. Jack lives with his wife, and they've been married for more than 30 years. They have one daughter. Welcome to the show, Jack. How are you today?
Bill, nice to be with you, and I promise that introduction will be much longer than any of my answers.
Good, because that was a mouthful. But it just goes to show you the incredible achievements that you've had serving the people of California. So I would be remiss if we didn't start this interview by saying thank you for your years of service to California and to the people here. So we're grateful to you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, a Ventura County guy, grew up here in Ventura County, as you alluded to. And a real highlight for me was just a week ago yesterday, I attended Oxnard High School, graduated from there, went back and taught there, as you alluded to, and I'm their first inductee into the Oxnard High School Yellow Jacket Hall of Fame, and well, it was quite a kick and quite an honor.
I read that in the newspaper. Congratulations to you. We're going to talk about that later, but great that you brought it up now. Now, you're returning back to Ventura County. You're going to speak at California Lutheran University on the state of education in California. So, just like in any school, it's report card time. You were the superintendent of school for a long time. Grade yourself on what you did well and what you would have liked to have improved on during your tenure as the superintendent of schools.
Well, I said 4 years ago that if we could begin to narrow the achievement gap, then I would have been able to be successful. And we incrementally narrowed that achievement gap, Bill. We didn't address it as much as I want. We're clearly on the right track. Now we have to be on the fast track. And so I would say our efforts were probably, the effort was an A, but the result was probably a B. And in part, it's because of the budget. I mean, nobody saw the economic implosion of California, of the country. The fact that the reduced funding to our schools has had a dramatic impact on delivery of services, fewer counselors, fewer nurses, fewer librarians, fewer teachers, a shorter school year, summer school practically extinct, the longer bus rides for kids. One district here in Ventura County is forced to totally eliminate, a rural district, eliminate bus service. We have fewer classes in the arts and music and athletics. I'm aware of some school districts in the state that eliminated all competitive athletics for freshmen. And so that just really has hurt us in our ability to narrow the achievement gap. We are narrowing it, but not to the extent that we need to. we're seeing all of our students, every grade level, every subject area, continue to improve, but not as much as I want. We can do better. And we have a changing student population. It's incredibly diverse, incredibly mobile, incredibly challenging, and yet it's a student population with the greatest potential on the planet. We know all students can learn. We know all students can learn to very high level. And despite the fact that you reported out of Los Angeles last night, most of their elementary school class is now over 40 students in the class, and it's much harder to provide that personalized, individualized educational opportunities for these students to learn.
Well, I'd go on to say it's almost impossible with 40 students in the class to give them the individual attention that they deserve. Jack, there was a lot of information in that last answer. I want to circle back, though, and talk about some of the cuts that had to be made, and most notably, the shortening of the school year, the near elimination of summer school. I find it interesting that in our public schools, we're cutting back, and yet in our parochial schools, the Catholic schools have just announced here in Ventura County that they're lengthening the school year. So I want to talk about that. You know, if you look at California's year compared to Japan, Korea, now the Catholics here in the county as well, every one of them has a longer school year. How do they manage to do it? Because let's face it, Japan's economy is no better than ours, and it's been worse for over 20 years. How do they manage to get longer school years, more education in than we do here in the United States?
Most of these other countries, these developing countries, are making education a priority. They get it. If you're going to have that well-skilled, well-educated, well-trained workforce, you have to invest in public education. And many of these countries are getting it, and we don't. And with respect to some of our parochial schools, and I applaud them, it's the right thing to do to have the longer school year, even a longer school day. Keep in mind, for the most part, they don't have the challenging student population that we do. And our public school system is not the homogeneous student population. We educate every kid that walks up to that front door, the special education kids, the gifted and talented kids. It's a much more homogeneous student population for the most part. There are exceptions for many of our parochial schools. And so we need to make sure that we continue to meet the challenges that each kid presents to us every day of school.
All right. Well, very well said. We're talking to Jack O'Connell, everybody, former superintendent of California schools. We're talking about the state of education in California. And you just talked about the several things about our student population that make it unique. Number one, we're not homogeneous. And number two, we're a lot more mobile. So I guess one of the questions that I want to ask is the traditional school system where the children come to the schoolhouse to do the learning and all of the facilities are centralized there, is that perhaps obsolete for a state as diverse as California? Should we be looking at alternative ways of delivering education to this multi-ethnic, mobile group of students that we have to educate?
The short answer is yes, Bill. Keep in mind, we have nearly 10,000 schools, 1,000 school districts, over 5,000 locally elected school board folk, and we're on, for the most part, this traditional school schedule where the students might start, last week of August, first week of September, finish in June. And the reason for that is, it's when you look back 100 years ago, we needed those high school students in the field. When over 100 years ago, we had half our population was involved in this agrarian economy. So we do need to look, are there better school calendars, if you want to be real basic? How can we utilize technology and the Internet? And how can that help us really supplement the educational opportunities of our students?
All right. Let's turn our attention, Jack, if we can, to money, because money is in short supply right now, without a doubt. But here are some statistics that I pulled just a while ago. California has consistently fallen below the national average in the per pupil expenditures for education. We right now rank 24th in 2006-2007, according to the National Education Association's rankings. Right now, we currently spend, and this number may be old, you probably have more current details, but right now, my research says that we spend about $9,124 per student here in California, and that California was only 95% of the national average, which is a little bit higher, $9,565. Interestingly enough, the District of Columbia was ranked first at $16,500 per student. So let's talk about this expenditure per student, and why is it that how can California improve, I guess, the expenditure per student? That's what I'm looking at.
We're going the wrong direction in terms of our commitment to public education, and that really is regrettable in terms of economic development. In fact, I can add a couple more statistics.
Sure.
Adjusted for inflation, California today, and if you want to compare apples to apples, we are spending $1,800 less per student than 3 years ago. If you have a class, do the math. If you have a class size of 30, 32 kids, you're looking at over $50,000 less per student, per classroom. Our class sizes of all 50 states, we're the largest. The ratio of student to counselors, we're the largest. Librarians, the largest. Some people say we have too many administrators. Right now we rank 47th. When you look at technology, we don't utilize technology to the extent that we should. Now, some school districts have made this a priority. There's a district right down on the border, and I'll slightly exaggerate for effect, 100% low socioeconomic, 100% learning the English language. So you get the picture of the makeup. And what they've decided to do about 5 or 6 years ago is that they want to be, instead of using textbooks, use computers. And so they send home with the kids, instead of a textbook, a computer. And it took several years to implement. Every teacher is online. The kids' grades are online. Attendance is online. The homework assignments are online. And the parents are required to come to class, to come and learn how to use the kid's computer. So your kid comes home from school, you can see, number one, was the kid there? Number two, how did he perform on the test? When's the homework assignment? You know when back to school night is. You know when the parent conference is. And you can text message the teacher. And we need to do a better job of extending the school front to the home front. Our parents are still our first teachers, still our most important teachers. And some of these school districts that get it, are going to be the ones that better prepare students for this next decade.
We're talking to Jack O'Connell, everybody, former superintendent of California schools. We're talking about the state of education. I like that phrase, extend the school front to the home front. That's a catchphrase that's worth keeping. Jack, I want to focus our attention on our student population right now and describe some of the challenges posed or faced by teachers in the following areas because of immigration, language, and poverty. And I want to start with poverty because we don't really think about poverty as a real impediment to teaching, but talk about how that affects the teaching and the learning of the students in many of our schools here in California.
Bill, I'll tell you two quick stories. About 7 or 8 years ago in Kern County, neighboring county to the east, I got a call from the superintendent, small district, and said, we're going to open a new school. We've never had the state superintendent here. Will you come and open the school for us? And I said, yes. I said, particularly if you make it a Friday, it'll be easy for me to get home on the Central Coast. And on my way home, I'll stop by. And so he said, we're planning on a Friday. I said, when is it? And it was the last Friday in July. I said, wait a minute. You're opening a new school in July? Are you on year-round? Actually, it was a she. She said, no, but 80% of our children are children of migrant farm workers. And so we take the months of December and January off, and just a couple of weeks after June 15th, the school, because 80% of our kids, if we don't do that, they're gone. The jobs for working in the fields are not here in the winter. So the parents go either back to Mexico or Imperial County, San Diego, where it's a little warmer to work. And obviously they take, as they should, their kids and their families with them. And this superintendent said to me, until we figured this out, our teachers sat there for the most part in December and January with only 20% of the kids. And then most of the families do come back, and they weren't performing very well. And the way schools are funded, they were getting killed economically.
Sure.
The second story is, when I was elected, all the state superintendents tend to get together twice a year. And we were meeting in another state. It was in Arizona about 2 years ago. And when you look at California's nationally normed test scores, they call it NAEP, we don't do very well. We're about the top of the bottom third. Mm. And so a friend of mine from Minnesota, state superintendent, real good guy, he tried to embarrass me and poke a little fun in front of everybody when they put the chart on the wall and said, look, California, you guys are the big heavies. Well, how come you're not doing better? You drive public policy. Why are you guys at the top of the bottom third? Is it because you're, and I'll quote him, your student population is somewhat diverse? And I said, yeah, you got it. In fact, we are over 50% Latino. were 31% white, 8% Asian American, 8% African American. But here's where it gets real interesting, and this is your point, Bill. Over half of our kids that come to school today qualify for free and reduced lunch. 40% of our kids go home from school, speak a language other than English. One out of four kids came to school today to learn the English language. 39% of our kindergarten kids came to school to learn the English language. 11% are designated special ed. And over 100 different languages spoken in some of our school districts. That said, we know all kids can learn, and we know all kids can learn to very high levels. But you can see, just given the diversity of our population, the mobility of our population, the many unique challenges that California has.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jack O'Connell, the former superintendent of California schools. Jack, you're coming into the area to talk at Cal Lutheran tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about that talk. What time are you going to be speaking, and are the tickets still available?
Tickets are available. If folks get a pencil, the best way to register is online, and it's less expensive. And it's really two efforts. It's the Ventura County Economic Forecast. The Ventura County Economic Forecast is being given by Bill Watkins, Executive Director for the Center of Economic Research and Forecasting, and I think I'm the warm-up act. And you can register online. We're doing this in the morning at Cal Lutheran, as you said, at 7:30 in the morning. And then again, a lunch at the Ventura County, the Ventura Beach Marriott, right on the pier out there in Ventura,